This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Rehab Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the Maple Leaf to my, podcast co-host, Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
Amy, this feels like some spring break stuff. Like, are you even taking this seriously? Like, it feels like you're just playing spring break. Like, do you even know what you're doing here?
Gosh, if I could even remember spring break.
I know, like, what was that like?
What was spring like this year? We could use a spring break, so.
Good. A fall break, and then a winter break, and then a spring break.
I think I scared you this week that we wouldn't have a spring break.
Oh my God, Amy, you texted me being like, oh yeah, they're going to do another season of The Bachelor. And I think half of my brain died and melted out of my ear because I thought you meant like January to March and then like April till June. And I was going to just be like, I don't know. I don't know if I can.
Yes, we surrender. Yeah, there's rumors circulating that there's going to be another season of The Bachelor. And yeah, when I first saw the rumor, I was thinking, oh no, they're going to wedge one in between like the typical Bachelorette season in May and the first Bachelor season in the beginning of the year. But digging into it a little more, spoiler free, they don't have any names out for a second Bachelor that I believe, some rumors, but it seems like they are replacing, at least for this next year, the Bachelorette season in May with another Bachelor season. So it's like back to back, but with a hopefully the standard break that you would normally have.
Which can only mean to me is that we're going to get another fall Bachelorette in which we're going to be in the same.
It's going to keep going.
Cycle.
Right. Yeah. I think that's maybe they're realizing like, oh, we can do things all year long for the most part. And I can see why they would maybe want another Bachelor having had two Bachelorettes back to back, but I don't want to always be like two and two.
No, so no.
How do we reset from this?
We were fine with one of each per year. Just give me three seasons and we're happy. One Bachelor, one Bachelorette, and one Bachelor in Paradise, and then we start all over fresh in January.
Exactly. So I think some of the rumors are like, oh, it's probably going to be somebody from Katie's season, since we know the first Bachelor is from Michelle's season, this one that's filming right now. So, you know, there's some contenders there. If that's the way they're going, it's not like I'll be upset to see them, but
I've seen two names and I find one much more likely than the other. And I'm curious to see if those are the same two names that you saw.
Okay, yeah, but I think we can talk about it because it's just speculation at this point. I saw Michael. And then I saw Tyler Cameron.
Oh my God. Can you imagine Tyler Cameron? I saw Michael and I saw Blake.
Oh, yeah. I see Michael as much more likely since I know he was in consideration for the before, like he was kind of just sort of considered because a lot of people liked him.
Yeah, Blake, that's kind of where I'm at too.
Blake, I don't think, was he that beloved?
No.
And what, is that a good look?
No.
Right. So I saw like an article where it's like, well, maybe they had things to get in place for Michael's son to be filming or to be filming in Ohio or something. So
right, of course.
If we have any listeners out in Ohio and you see if you see any hotels being blocked off or anything like that.
Yeah, fill us in.
Yes. Yeah, so I think that's all for Bachelor Nation news this week. Almost anything.
No, I think last week's was such a hectic Bachelor News week that they really tried to, you know, play it easy on us.
Yeah. So we covered the Katie and Blake breakup last week when we had Rourke on the podcast. Super fun. I've actually been digging into her podcast that she was talking about that she started. So much
fun. It's so fun. I love it.
I love it. It's like if you want to be a fly on the wall on dating stories, especially like when you're out of the dating game for a while, it's just fun to like remember that phase and like, oh, other people's problems.
I was never in the dating game.
It's vicarious.
And then I accidentally met Ethan and then we were together forever. And like that, like, so it just, I don't know. It's just funny to hear the stories and I don't know. I enjoy it. It's just a really fun podcast. So if you haven't checked out Finding Mr. Height, the podcast, check that out.
Definitely. All right. Well, let's get into episode 3. So
why does it feel like it's episode 55?
Yeah, I was going to say it's only episode 3.
I love Michelle so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like just every episode, I am like not looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, it's. I miss the days when you're like, oh, yes, new content.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely love Michelle. I am feeling like this feels even more like a traditional season, even though they're not at the mansion. So we're getting back to, I feel like, more a typical flow and typical.
Mm-hmm.
Dates. Except
I don't really ever need to see the mansion again, honestly.
I know. I don't think so either, but I'm not sure if the Bachelor season is back there or not.
I don't know.
But yeah, we start out the episode with Casey and Rodney are chatting about how there's a rat in the midst, like kind of picking up that storyline from last week that somebody let loose this topic and doubt that all the guys were questioning Michelle's character and they want to find out who it is. So obviously that's setting up that we will get that resolved in this episode. Casey seems to be becoming the narrator. I don't know what else he's going to do.
I think he is like an outside enough perspective that he can kind of tell us what's happening without honestly probably being too involved with Michelle.
Right.
Sorry, I don't think Casey's the one.
Right. Which is really like thinking back to even Caitlin's season, it was sort of the role Tanner played. He was kind of a non-factor with Caitlin, but he became kind of Bachelor Nation royalty from Paradise. So do we see Casey having a trajectory like a Tanner?
I don't think so. I think Casey's a little drier than Tanner ever was.
Yeah. And Casey's, Tanner's a little more like humorous, but Casey, it's like funny and he's just so straightforward and he's not afraid to talk about the guys. And I think Rourke brought it up that she was amused by him that he's not making huge digs at them, but just does seem to be taking it a little seriously from his outside perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Date number one, a group date. Seems like Caitlin is getting the, like, she's the one, like, communicating with the guys. And Tayshia seems more like the confidant with Michelle. I feel like we're seeing a lot less of Caitlin and Tayshia, which I don't really like. I don't think we're getting that mentor role as much. So it's just Caitlin bringing in a date card, like, hey, guys, see you later.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, like, says something about, I hope you're ready for the danger zone. And it's a Top Gun. Did you know there was a new Top Gun movie coming out?
I could have sworn this came out like 7 years ago. I feel like I've been hearing about Miles Teller being Top Gun for like ages now.
Okay. Yeah. Apparently the dates got pushed back multiple times for this. But yeah, now there's no way you could watch this episode and not know that there's a new Top Gun episode coming out or movie coming out.
It's funny. I still don't care that there's a new Top Gun coming out.
Like, I only care because Jay Ellis is in it. Now that I know that he's in it, I'm like, okay.
So, like, what was their game plan here? Like, do they really think that the Bachelor audience is the ones who are signing up to watch Top Gun? Or is it just because these two guys are hottie McGotties?
Yeah.
Or, like, are they hoping that, you know, boyfriends and husbands are watching The Bachelor and then they're going to watch
part of it.
Top Gun?
That's probably definitely part of it because it's, like, even if you were just casually like in another room catching parts of this date, like a boyfriend, husband's going to pick up on like, oh, Top Gun, you know, like because it is like, so blatant.
I don't want to try and reinforce standard gender roles or anything, but I don't know if there's a lot of crossover between Bachelorette viewers and Top Gun wanting to seize.
Right.
And I mean, if you love The Bachelor and you are super excited to see Top Gun, then like message me and be like, Haley, you're wrong. Right. And I'm happy to be wrong on this one, mostly because I don't care. But, you know, did I tell you I went to see James Bond?
No, I don't think so. Or I don't remember.
So I'm not much of a movie gal.
Yeah, I was going to say, like,
not much of a movie gal. No. And I've been pretty forward about what my taste in movies are if I do choose to go see them. Mm-hmm. But my poor husband, he loves going to the movies, and we obviously haven't been in like a couple of years, and he really wanted to go see James Bond, and he wanted me to go with him, and we had like a coupon from 2017 for a free movie and popcorn. Can you believe it still worked? They just looked at it and they're like, yep, this works. And we're like, okay, cool. So I went to go see James Bond, and it was possibly one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
Oh, scary. Oh my gosh.
Well, you know me. I can't watch anything with action or suspense or drama or like any emotion except like comedy. Mm-hmm. And like love. And even sometimes when like the crying part of a rom-com comes up, you know, I'm a little messy. But anyways, it was terrifying. So needless to say, I'm not going to go see Top Gun. If Ethan wants to go see Top Gun, well then, boy, he knows where the cinema is.
Right. I mean, maybe there's some crossover with, I would think there would be more of a crossover with people who watch Insecure, which Jay Ellis stars in, and that just came out a new season. Shout out to Mari, who's podcast, one of the co-hosts podcasting about it for PSR, post-show recaps. But the one thing I will say about this date is that the two movie stars were like really into it, which I thought they'd be a little more like phoning it in. Like they remembered the guys' names. They were like cheering them on. So I have to give them credit for like committing to that. And I think also part of it is like having the guys in those uniforms and having that like promo picture, and just like, okay, they look hot in uniform, and like getting the guys excited for a date was probably part of it as well. So I can see that crossover. But who knew that it was going to start Jacket Gate? Like not since Survivor with Natalie. Would we have such a jacket story themed storyline here?
Yeah, and it wasn't to be expected. I still think Natalie's Jacket Gate was better. This might come as a surprise.
Okay.
I think I would like to do the circle thing.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Wow.
I like spinny rides at the fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I would not want to do that. Because I think it was like G-force. Like, I think that even like increases dizziness. I don't know. Yeah, I don't understand it totally.
I
wouldn't
actually like it, but I'd be definitely more willing to do that than skydiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, at least I'm nice and close to the ground.
Right. Yeah. So the guy, it didn't seem like dangerous. It seemed like it could be sick for sure. And we saw a lot of Will, aka Little Willie, getting nervous because he even has packed motion sickness pills, but didn't like bring them with him. But like just thinking, I'm sure he wasn't prepped for that. He would need that on that date. So I'm sure he was selected purposely for that reason.
Yes, of course. And they were probably like, no, Will, you don't need your motion sickness pills. Help them.
Yeah, save those for later. But yeah, they had to go in this contraption, which the stars of the movie used to like simulate like being in fighter jets, and they had to profess their love for Michelle or their feelings for Michelle.
I mean, that just seemed like a pointless aspect to that, right? Like, let them just focus on not throwing up.
Yeah, because I think we've seen things like this where they've been tested, like. I think Ben Higgins' season had something like this where they were testing different things or like kind of obstacle courses or other things like that. Cause they were doing push-ups on the state as well and dog fighting. They had a lot of random things, but especially we didn't get much out of it. We didn't see like a lot of the clips of what they were saying. The only thing we really saw was that Peter, AKA Doughboy, because they all had their call signs that they had to come up with, where they were kind of roasting and coming up with nicknames for the guys, which is also, I guess, in Top Gun. He spoke in Italian, and then they show Will going, speaking in Spanish, and Peter claiming that he copied what he said just in another language. But how would he know? you know,
sure.
Yeah, he stole his shtick, I guess. And so, you know, they're still feuding and they were in the matchup in the dogfight. Will
of course
wins.
They were. Who could have guessed that?
Yeah. Like even the guys, I think it was Joe, was like, oh, I saw that matchup coming. So
it's my favorite part about that storyline is that I feel like the producers were trying really hard to make them fight and get the guys involved. But every other guy was just like, no, I'm OK. Thank you. I'm not. That's not for me. I'm not hanging out
with
that.
I'm just gonna sit back. Yeah. And also, it's like two guys that had no chance with Michelle. Maybe Will, like he's still there, but it doesn't seem like either of them, like the fact that they're focusing so much on each other, are going to be, you know, in a contender in the end.
Yeah, I think Michelle probably just straight up didn't like Peter at all.
Yeah.
She was like, no, I am not. Yeah, she's like, I'm not keeping him again. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. He didn't bring pizza. It's over.
Yeah.
And one thing, too, that I liked about this date is, you know, they crown a winner and it seemed like that the Glenn Powell and Jay Ellis got to choose, or maybe it was still in coordination with producers, but they chose Will and he actually won something, actually two things. So he got time with Michelle in like the movie car, the car from that was used on set, and a jacket, a bomber jacket.
Nice jacket. I would have loved that jacket.
Yeah. So it's not just, okay, you get some silly trophy, or what was it on Matt James season, like an acorn trophy or something. You
I
know.
Don't remember. I have no right? recollection of that.
So there are some stakes and some things for the guys to be jealous about or for Will to feel good about. Yeah, we see this kind of play out in the after party when Will is away with Michelle and having one-on-one time. Peter decides that it's about respect and he's going to take Will's bomber jacket and throw it in the pool.
Yeah, it's about respect. So he just actively disrespects the dude and his property. Like that's his property. Like he that's not okay. That's just not okay.
Right.
Yeah, if he has the issue with like the maturity and the whatever, like he didn't obviously go about it the right way. Like he looked like the real tool. And I think everyone knew it. And nobody wanted to like laugh or like cheer him on, be like, oh, it's so funny. They are just like, I had nothing to do with that. This dude, it's an idiot. Like some of the guys like just got up and left, which good on them for just really not getting involved at all.
Right. Yeah. We saw Nate, like he acknowledged in his ITM, he said like, well, I laughed, but now like I'm going to distance myself from Peter. So like they seem like amused or just kind of like incredulous that Peter went to that length. Like they saw him get up with a jacket. They didn't think he was going to throw it in a pool. Then it looks like Clayton came back and like said something to Peter when he found out what he had done. And Peter was just like, I respect you, man, but just stay out of this. And it seemed like no one really wanted to associate with him after that. And then Will was understandably very hurt about this. And we see him like kind of go off camera and he's crying. He's talking to a producer like, he's just like had enough with this guy, but he does not bring it up to Michelle. He's like looking very upset when Michelle comes back and is handing out a group date rose. But the guys were kind of just like be the bigger man and giving advice. Yep. And that's what he did. I'm sure the producers would have wanted him to bring it up. And none of the other guys brought it up as well.
Yeah, I think that was absolutely the right choice because, I mean, results oriented, but he ended up with the roses at the end of the day and Peter did not. And it helped to avoid creating another level of drama. And you know, you don't want Michelle thinking that you're causing any problems,
right? Because a lot of times what happens when there's two people feuding, it doesn't end up well for either of them. Like they're just both associated with that. And although I don't think there was much, like there were some things that maybe Will was saying to Peter, and yeah, it started with him calling him a narcissist, but I still think that was taken over the top. Like, it was just a funny joke in that setting. Like, he just kind of seized on that comedic timing there in that last school date. But I really think it was more Peter upset that he lost that dog fight with him as well. So,
yeah.
And I saw some people saying, like, who cares? Like, it got wet, but I think it was a leather jacket, right? Like, I think it's ruined.
I thought it was like a satiny one.
Okay. So maybe it's fine, but either way, like, there's chemicals.
It's still incredibly disrespectful. And I think it's one of those things, right? Like, you're on the show, you have most of your creature comforts taken away. You don't have a lot of your stuff. You're given this item.
Yeah.
And you cherish it. And then it gets taken. Like, it is very insulting. Like, I would have been devastated. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's his item to keep as a souvenir, to sell on eBay, like, it's his. And, you know, we saw something like this on Becca Kufrin's season, where a contestant had a framed photo, which to me is not that big of a deal. That's replaceable. Maybe Michelle gets wind of this down the road when she asks, like, hey, where's your jacket? I could see them, her pulling a move like, hey, I got you another one, or like, took it to a cleaner's or something, or it just never becomes anything after the fact. But I do think it would have been nice for her to, like, be aware maybe later on, just to, like, have that, see the positive side of Will's behavior, but, like, for his perspective. But
yeah,
other than that, there was another kind of prize, our favorite, a private little concert given to Martin, who got the group date rose. So Michelle,
okay, a string quartet. Yes, do sign me up.
Okay,
that.
Thank you.
That's that's okay for me.
That's at the top of the list. Playing a song from Top Gun, Take My Breath Away.
I mean, that I don't care about. Like, F this movie. I will not go see it.
What did you think of Martin? Like,
ooh, I really liked him this episode. Ooh. He really did it for me in that little shirt and his little glasses. And Michelle seemed to really dig him. Oh, I was feeling Martin.
Okay. I can't get this out of my head because I've seen, like, a meme going around that he looks like all five members of NSYNC put together. So.
You know what? Ethan said that meme to me and I laughed so hard.
Yeah. He did the move where he, like, pulled her aside, asked how she's doing. And so that was during the date.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. And also smart. Like, you can get out of, like, okay, I'm sick of doing these push-ups. Like, just let these other guys compete. So he pulled her aside while they're all doing those, like, the drills. And yeah, this group date rose actually had some weight behind it too, because he got that private time after she sent the rest of the guys home. So I like that there are these two different stakes on the episode.
But I feel like we didn't get any of that private time, really, did we? Or was I just not paying attention? Just, I feel like all of a sudden we went to the one-on-one. Like,
it's true.
I was like, oh, is this still part of the date? Ethan genuinely was like, did she leave Martin to go to her date with Rodney?
Okay, yeah, let's talk about it. So I think they only showed them, like, slow dancing, but not really talking. Yeah, because the next one-on-one is Rodney, who I would not have expected to get a one-on-one this early or at all. But it looked like their date started in the middle of the night. So
yeah,
was like, it at the end of this night?
I wonder if it was one of those situations where they had something planned and maybe the weather was bad, although they're in, like, the desert in California. So I doubt that's, like, a possibility, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was, like, too hot or something. I don't know. I feel like something, they had something planned and they couldn't do it.
Yeah. Cause it was really random.
I feel like I'm not a lawyer, but I feel like they are leading the witness here, in which I thought for sure Rodney was going to go home.
Oh, really?
Just based on, like, the panning of the suitcase, the, like, well, I don't know, like, Michelle and I, and Michelle's like, well, I don't know about Rodney. Like, I'd really like to see. But I thought their date was so fun. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed Rodney. He's one of my favorites now. I don't think he's going to be the one at the end of the show that ends up with Michelle, but I really, really enjoyed him with this date. He really rolled with the punches. He's fun. He laughs, and Michelle seems to have a good time with him, which I appreciate.
Right. They were really pushing, like, the friend zone angle, and, like, the other guys kind of commenting, like, I don't think he's going to get out of a friend zone. We saw Malik talking about him, like, oh, he just makes me laugh, but there's no way he's for Michelle. So yeah, they were really setting it up. Like, I was like, okay, he's probably an early one-on-one that goes home.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they had a good chemistry. And she even brought up that line at the end, like, he's out of the friend zone, like, now he's in the romance zone. And
my favorite line was when they had to feed each other and she fed him, or he fed her pizza, and she's like, for you it's lasagna, for me it's pizza. That made me laugh. She's great. She's so good with the callbacks. She's so quick to like make fun of them, but in like a cute, fun way that they like enjoy.
Yeah. See, I thought you were going to say like your favorite line was the pun with I absolutely, that's too hard to say though. I absolutely accept this, or will you, like, I absolutely want to give you this rose. It's too much of a mouthful.
That was super cute.
Yeah. So I love their chemistry where he's like, you're lucky you're cute. You know, like, he can be made fun of. And although the date, like, there wasn't much to do, it was like these random truth or dare. It was a lot better executed than some of the past ones we saw, like in La Quinta, that were similar.
Really? I might have to disagree with you there, because we literally went to the business center.
That's true. I forgot about the photocopy.
We went to the business center.
At one point,
the most romantic part of any hotel.
Right. Well, at one point, in like the back of the kitchen, like, it just like looks like food that had been sitting out forever. They were in a boat at one point, right? Like rowing a boat.
Oh, yeah, they were, weren't they?
So it was just really, very random. But then more of a serious dinner talk, where she talks about her parents as a biracial couple, and how her mom, that she's, Michelle's witnessed in so many situations, her mom stepping up for her dad when she doesn't really have to, but just like she's kind of in a situation being the person, like a protector in a way. Mm-hmm. And then Michelle is saying that she hasn't had that comfort in her past relationships, and not having that understanding, and talks about an instance where the first time that she was had the N-word directed at her, and it was in a grocery store, and her partner at the time not supporting her. I mean, basically saying like, okay,
don't give that person the power
to
be upset, where like she
treating
has
it very trivially.
Yeah, she just has every single right to be upset in that moment. Like, how, like, I just don't get how somebody could do that.
Right. So, yeah, she said she had to justify her feelings. She shouldn't ever have to justify that. And they just seem to have like just an understanding with each other and having that talk. And Rodney talks about growing up with a single mom and how she worked three jobs to, and that he just wants to make her proud. So I love that they had that balance of super fun and then they could get deep. Mm-hmm. Anything else with, oh, we forgot about the streaking. So,
oh my God.
It was a dare. Like, my thoughts on Rodney, like, were just like, oh, this is going to be the crazy guy that is doing wild things to get attention at a cocktail party. And he's, at some point, he's going to streak across the stairs, but it was either him or Michelle. So obviously he was going to do it for the dare. And yeah, it was just like in the lobby of the hotel. And Michelle even had to say that comment, like, this is our journey. So the producers at this point are just structuring things for the promo. Like, mm-hmm. please do this. Yeah. So definitely like higher expectations for Rodney than I had initially. I think I would slot him in for top six if she's like gets along with him so well.
Yeah, I think that's a fair spot.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the second group date. So if the first group date, the storyline was Will versus Peter, this is like everybody against Jamie. It's a spoken word poetry date. So it's for your college classmate. Seemed like it was set up for him.
He was so excited, which, like, good for him. Like, that was nice for him to be just genuinely excited. Like, whoever he was beside, he was like, this is it. This is the guy.
He was the one person that knew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that, like, casting him, like, triggered something for the producers to be like, ooh, date idea? Like, if he'd said, like, here's my, this guy's my idol. This is why I got into spoken word.
I'm really not sure. It's not something I considered.
I feel like they have been maybe just with like less, like more open protocols. Like it's been easier to get like better guests and mm-hmm. that probably don't have to quarantine for very long. They're in California area right now. So, you know, to get like a movie stars, they wouldn't have been able to do that in these past seasons we've seen. I don't have his name. Do you have the name of the poet?
It was. It was.
I feel like it was Francisco something, but I could be making that up.
Still scroll. Rudy Francisco.
Rudy Francisco. Okay. So yeah, Chris G was very excited about this. All the guys had to do spoken word poetry. So they come in, watch Rudy Francisco performing, and then they have to do their own spoken word poetry. And then the other guys are the audience. And I thought everybody did pretty well.
I would agree.
Standout, I guess, in a negative way was Jamie. Just didn't really
try.
Have an emotional story. But yeah. Did anybody surprise you on the second group date?
I would say I think Brandon surprised me. Mm-hmm. I just haven't really connected with him, I'd say. And I would say even after it, I kind of lost any connection I had. I'm not sure why he's not doing it for me, but he's just not doing it for me.
Yeah, I agree. I thought his poem was really touching. I don't know. It just seemed like she really connected to it. And then in the cocktail party afterwards, they just seemed like really attracted to each other. But yeah, he just seems so young to me. I think that's what it is.
Is he the one who was like had all the lines for Michelle last week and she was like, come on now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so that's probably part of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he and Michelle talk about that. They are both late bloomers. Both biracial.
You want to talk about late bloomers? These people. Oh, I didn't date till the end of high school. Oh, cry about it. You want to have the late bloomer Olympics? Give me the gold medal right now, babes.
And then, yeah, I think she after they made out, she said something like, "I feel like I just dropped on a roller coaster." So they definitely have chemistry. But really, this becomes about Jamie. So Jamie's very confident. He's who she had the one-on-one with. He's the one who brought up the story. So according to the other guys, he would be that rat in the midst that they're trying to find out. And although we don't really, it's not found out here. It's later, like the cocktail party for the rose ceremony. But after this date, Brandon gets the group date rose. It's the second time in a row. And then we hear Jamie, it's subtitled, like, "We have to talk." And he pulls a producer. And they're sort of like through a window, he's being filmed. So, I don't think he knows that he is being filmed. But
he's Mike. Like, this was a nutso banana scene, right? Like, it was just, it was probably one of the most wild things I've ever seen on The Bachelor. I mean, did he not realize that this was going to be used?
I don't think he did.
I mean, sure. Like, yeah, the editors can play games, but like, this is hard to explain away, in my opinion.
Yeah. So he's kind of venting like, okay. She's just in spring break mode and like no judging, but I can make fun of it, right? And
feels like judging, but
right, yeah. And then Brandon, these guys are pathetic. Like, I thought expected a higher caliber of guys, and do I seriously have to wait out 6 weeks for this?
I mean, you don't, you can leave.
Right.
Like, you don't, nobody's forcing you to stay here.
Yeah. So it seemed to be coming from the place of
like ego
superiority. Yeah. And just that, like, okay, she's probably going to pick me in the end, but we just have to go through the motions. He was above everybody. I did hear, I was listening to a little bit of Chatty Broad's podcast, which has Becca Martinez, and she talked about how, I don't remember the exact quote of the spring break, but she was like, it could be taken as he could be talking about a guy's wardrobe, like depending on what was said, spring break, depending on how they clip it. So you just never know.
But either way, like it did. I mean, it would take a lot of clipping to make him insulting everyone. I don't know. Like, I'm right. just sure definitely... some stuff could have been edited a little bit, but how, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being naive, which is possible.
But it's definitely a case of like him. He has never watched it from what he's saying. Like, he doesn't watch any reality TV. So he is very naive coming in for that. And I definitely, seeing this, like, I definitely believe that because he totally seemed to just like trust this producer, like, oh, this is my buddy. Like, I'm going to just like, this is my safe space to vent, which you should never do. So, and it's hard because it's like, after what we saw, like his story last week, it's like, you want to come to his defense. Like, that's my instinct. It's like, I don't know that he's a like typical villain, but yeah, definitely like has his ego going and not aware of the reality TV ways. Let's see, anybody else from this group date that stood out? I mean, we saw a little bit of Chris G doing the spoken word, but it wasn't like any more than we saw anybody else doing their poem. And then you could kind of tell, like, okay, who's not going anywhere when they don't show anything? They just show them like in silence in the background. Let's see. Yeah, I don't think there are any. I think Brandon was really the standout.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't really think that Rose is going anywhere but Brandon.
Yeah. So we come into the Rose Ceremony cocktail party and we hear Romeo saying, like, well, Martin, Rodney, and Brandon all have roses coming into it. And Jamie's like really far along with her, so he's probably feeling pretty confident.
I was surprised about that comment. I think I don't know.
It's not a typical thing that we hear. I was like, oh, this is helpful for my notes because I can be like, yep, these are the ones that have the roses already. But yeah, they probably are asking like, so who do you think is like feeling safe? And yeah, it's now looking back, it totally sets up what happens with Jamie, that, you know, he's not worried at all. And then it all comes crashing down. So it starts with Rick is the one to bring it up. So Tabletop Rick, that was his call sign, brings it up where more just like he wants to clear the air.
Yeah, like none of us were like, what happened? Because it wasn't a common sentiment in the house. And like, I've talked to a couple of people that like, we're not doubting you. We're not doubting your character. So we would love a little more understanding of like where that was coming from. And we'd like to like support you and tell you that that's not the case kind of thing. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah. Like just want to like rest assured. None of us were thinking that. None of us were questioning your character, which. Yeah, it wasn't like this overwhelming thing. There were guys talking about like, did she know Joe before? So there is like a little bit of like, I can see. There were some guys that I think were guilty of like questioning a situation. I don't think they were bringing it up with her character. Just like, whoa, he seems to like be really far ahead. But most of the guys like weren't even aware that that was a topic of conversation. So then Michelle admits that it was Jamie. She's like, oh, it's hard because it was Jamie. And Rick seems really surprised by that. Everybody thought like Jamie would be the one to actually say something when it was brought up. So that gets all around. And, we see some of the guys pull Jamie aside, and Jamie does not really have a good defense here.
No, he certainly does not. He's just like, he can't even like come up with anything on the spot.
No, it's like, oh, I wasn't questioning her character. I was saying there's another character. The doubt created its own character. And what are the viewers going to like? What are people at home going to think? And so then they call him out like
the episodes
on the episodes, and they're like, what are you talking about? So why are you bringing episodes into it? So yeah, then Michelle ends up pulling Jamie aside to talk it through, and there's really just no coming back from it at this point. And he gets sent home. One thing I think is interesting is that he's in the limo and we don't hear any more from him. So it definitely seemed like it came as a shock. And I don't know if he was saying things to the producer, like, dude, like what happened? Like if he just wasn't giving them anything.
I wonder if they just didn't want to give him any sort of platform.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I wasn't sure if it's like, typically you'd see something like it. I think he was really caught off guard. Just feeling like he had it in the bag. Like he was not in danger of going anywhere. at that point. But yeah, I don't, they like the trust is broken and she just ended it there. So then with the guys called for the rose ceremony, we get Joe, Rick, Leroy, Nate, Casey, Chris G, Chris S, Clayton, Olu, Romeo, and Will. So we lose Peter of the Peter and Will feud, Spencer, Malik, and LT. So I think I was only slightly surprised by Peter because I just thought for sure they were going to keep him around.
I was surprised by Malik just because I felt like he was getting a lot of that narration role too.
That's true. Yeah, I did think he would maybe stick around a little bit. But that is where we are at. Looks like some new villains might emerge next week, but because we lost
two of them. Yeah, I trusted that guy's the other Chris, is that who that was?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I've entrusted him since moment one.
Yeah. So let's get into some audience questions. Will Harrington, can someone explain what influenced the production's choice of the next Bachelor? Although he got more screen time, so I actually remembered he existed. He was so boring. Based on what we've seen, is there any reason to believe he can be a compelling lead, or is production just trying to appease the Middle America audience after angering them with so many people of color as leads? So again, fast forward a little bit if you don't want to know who the next Bachelor is. But yeah, I think Haley, it's pretty telling that we didn't really bring up this reason.
Yeah.
Even though they what had like a little
so far.
They had a little like kissing moment, but it was just like a little tiny mini interaction. Like, let's spin around.
And yeah, I don't know yet. I mean, I guess we'll stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. Another podcast I listened to, I believe it was last week, Charlene's podcast that she does with her husband. So Charlene was spoiled on who the next Bachelor is because she's just in that world. So like it's unavoidable, really. But her husband had no idea. And he just guessed. He was like, I bet it's this person because they just are so bachelory. Like, mm-hmm. They're just going to go back to what they like. And one thing that stood out to me about Clayton is that I really got Colton vibes from him again this episode, where he said something like, a lot of these guys think they're like front runners, but I think I can leapfrog. Like, just like the terminology, it was like very game oriented. Yeah. Like, I don't think they're as strong as they think. And I think like I can find my way. I think I can leapfrog them was like stood out to me.
Mel got served, texted me the day of the premiere and was like, does this dude not look like Taryn?
Oh my gosh. What?
So now I just can't like unsee that.
That is so funny because I saw that this episode a little bit.
Yeah.
I just forgot I was gonna mention it. Yeah. That's so funny. Nicole Horn. If the person you're dating called you an underdog, how quick would you GTFO?
Probably would take me longer than I'd like to admit. I'd probably be like, oh, yeah, like, thanks. Right. I would probably take it as a compliment because I'm an idiot. But
yeah. Like, oh, like, so you're saying I have a chance. Josh Creek, is this going to be a spring break podcast?
Babes, when it has it not been a spring break podcast?
Sarah Noor, are we happy that Jamie was given the boot so quickly, followed by the troublemaker Peter, or is it annoying because now the show will manufacture some other drama to focus on?
Why not both?
Yeah, I don't mind losing Peter, but I would have liked to see maybe like
some resolution,
like see if he could try to like work his way out of it. He was kind of a different type of villain, so he had layers.
Yeah.
Taylor Downs, how deep did the show bury Jamie by including that pull aside he did with a producer? Does that make him a production plant or just an enormous horse's rear end?
I think you brought up the fact that he doesn't really probably quite understand reality television in the way that like you and I might. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it. But I also think that like added some context
mm-hmm.
that would have been confusing otherwise.
Right. Yeah, I think something like that, they're always going to show, like if we look at the Brendan Piper thing from Bachelor in Paradise, you're just always on mic. You're always going to like they're going to find a way to show the footage. but that's, yeah, really what producers do, is like, they're your buddy until the final cut of the show. Maker Mika Vogel: I appreciate the shade the editors threw by showing Michelle talking to the guys about why she sent Jamie home and then continuing to play her voiceover the video of Jamie riding away in the car as his lips were moving, saying his last words, but not playing the sound of whatever he actually said. It felt like a fitting end to that storyline. Okay, that's an interesting perspective on that, too. That's just like, yeah, not give him the last word.
Yeah.
Let's have Michelle. I'm wondering if, like, we're going to have a repeat of the Katie type thing where a different guy is kind of sent out each week, though, because I really don't want that.
I was kind of a little worried about that. Do you think Jamie's going to come to the mental all?
I think so. I saw on his Instagram, like, he's still like, nothing but love for the show, nothing but love for Michelle. Like, she's amazing. So I could see that. And he's getting hate, like people saying things, like horrible things about, like,
come on, guys. Yeah. I know our audience is not doing that. Keep in mind that this is a TV show. It is produced content. If you're tweeting at any of the contestants anything but nice things, stop what you're doing and reevaluate. Exactly. Like, if you want to comment that you love their sweater or something like that, only nice things. Like, right. We have enough negativity in the world.
Exactly.
Let's not play that game. It's unnecessary. And if any of those comments are racist, then, like, go F yourself. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Go F yourself.
They're bringing his mom's death into it. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yes. Mari Forth: what did you think of Michelle's date with Rodney? Do you think he is in the running for Michelle's heart? And how far do you think he goes? I like Rodney, but so far I'm getting friend vibes from him. I don't see him up there with Joe, Nate, and Martin.
No, Mari, you're totally right. Like, I feel like Joe, Nate, and Martin are on a completely different level. But I think Rodney is the type of guy you want to have around just because he's like such a fun hang. Like, he's like the Andrew of this season, where you probably know he's not the one, but you're really having a nice time hanging out with him and you want him to hang around for a bit just because he adds like a levity to the situation, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think leads always like to have somebody, and I'm probably getting this from like something I listened to from a lead in the past, but kind of that trusted person, that friend around later on. So like, especially when they were doing like the traveling a lot, like, this is somebody that I know I'll have fun with, even if they don't see them as like their person at the end. They usually tend to go kind of far, and then you can always like fall back on that, like, oh, we didn't get past like it's more friendship thing. Like, I love you as a person kind of thing. It's like an easy way to like say bye to somebody too.
Yeah.
And then Mari has another question. How did you feel about the men's original decision not to tell Michelle about the Peter and Will situation?
I really like it, especially because, A, it's not something we've really seen before, so I'm interested to see how that plays out. Yeah. Like, is Michelle going to get upset that she didn't know about this? Is she happy that they didn't get involved? I don't know. But it's an it feels like a little bit of a different experience, especially since we've been watching The Bachelor nonstop for a year. Yeah. It's nice to see something that we really haven't come across before.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like they all want to find out like who's the person that said this one thing to Michelle, but the reason why they didn't bring this situation up is like, okay, like, she's already like dealt with this negative situation and we're having like such a good time, we don't want to like bring her down again, and we've had all these things canceled, or the cocktail party canceled. So the fact that it's like they don't want to do that to the other guys. Like, nobody wants to be the person that's like, let's change the tone of the state. And she was saying things like, oh, it's so great. It's like a total reset. So to me, I'm just kind of waiting. Like, I just feel like it will come up at some point.
Yeah. Like, do you feel like the other shoe's going to drop and she's going to be upset that they didn't tell her? I don't know. I guess it doesn't really matter because Peter's not here. Right. Like,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like she didn't like Peter enough to like care.
Right.
Like, I don't think she wanted to dedicate any of her, like, her mental capacity to caring about Peter or what he's doing. Like, I just don't think she liked him at all.
Yeah. Wrapping up, I could see, like, on that, like, I could see it wrapping up with a storyline on if she feels really strongly about Will, that maybe it comes up and by some, like, asking about the jacket, or a producer telling her, like, well, why don't you ask him why he's not wearing that jacket that you got, like, he won on your date? Yeah. And then feeling like, oh, like, I want you to feel like you can tell me like tough things or something. I could see it like going that way.
I guess so. Yeah. I just don't see Will as being a big enough player that it matters.
Right. Exactly. So let's go to our draft. Let's see how we're doing on this. Asia and Amy are tied for first.
Oh my God, how is this happening?
With 60 points. I think I have Rodney. Yes. So I would never have expected him to get me these points so early. But oh my gosh, my team is like dwindling. I have Joe, Olu, Rodney, and Chris S left. Wow. So Chris S is like maybe some villain points next week. I don't know, but that's not much. And you have Leroy as your number one, and like I really like him, but haven't seen much with him.
Oh, he was so cute this episode. I loved his little glasses.
I know. We love a good glasses moment.
He was so cute. I was like, ooh, Leroy. Ooh, what are you doing? What are you up to?
Yeah, I saw some like meme reaction. Like he had some good reaction shots. So did Nate. Just when everything was going down at the cocktail party. Yeah, so we are tied right now for 60 points. Haley, you are in third or second, any way you look at it. 43 points. I have four people left. Oh my goodness. And you and Asia have five people left. Well, so that's pretty even in terms of who we have left. So that's interesting.
Yeah, but like, I have no chance.
Leroy, who's here? Like, you have Martin.
Oh, good. I have Martin.
Martin.
Ooh, he's so cute. You know what? I'm enjoying looking at Nate's face. His face is just very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. He's very cute. Yeah, they had some makeout moments. We didn't really
talk about him much. He's like the guy you would write a tweet about, like, letting him ruin your life.
Right? So, yeah, I would put Jay Ellis there. Now, I only have eyes for him this episode, but...
Yeah, I don't think Jay Ellis is going to ruin your life like Nate is, though.
That's true. So, did you get takes from Doug this episode? Is he all caught up?
I did, yeah. Congrats to Doug on getting caught up.
And has he informed us on, like, do you have any of the notes on what's going on in VIP Canada?
I don't. Doug, if you're watching VIP Canada, let me know. Actually, two of my work friends have been kind of watching it, and I've been told it's really good. It's like very Canadian, but there's some good drama going on. I really want to watch it. I just do not have the capacity to do so right now. I hope everyone understands.
Right.
Would you rather go for a ride on the Euroscope of Nightmares Machine? What's that? Can you Google it for me? Or be a contestant on this show who constantly talks about his shitty pizza parlor and says his favorite scene from Top Gun is the volleyball scene. I mean, I would love a pizza parlor. Not gonna lie to you.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, Peter is changing lives one slice at a time. I feel like we've heard that multiple times, so...
Yeah, he's so passionate about that line. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's on the back of his t-shirts that he makes his employees wear?
Oh, I'm sure. I guess a slice of pizza can change your life. I don't know. But
I'm going to go for pizza right now. I'm hungry, actually. I'm getting a little snicky.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's 8:44, though. It might be too late for like a dessert. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll just take my vitamins and be done with it. If you and Amy feel compelled to become fighter pilots after this episode that somehow did not feature anyone from the actual armed forces, I think your call sign should be Fragile and Cupcake.
Ooh, I like it.
You're probably Cupcake, I'm guessing. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I mean, there is a Cupcake in Bachelor Nation. Yeah.
I think that's a callback to your Cupcake story.
Yeah, I like it.
Is the most real thing ever, or just a terrible sign for how bad the season might be, that Michelle was doing parent-teacher interviews instead of watching?
Oh, really? I didn't see that. But they've definitely cast some guys that give that like fifth grader energy. So,
God, yes,
it's so weird. Like the jacket thing is such a like late elementary school, early junior high type thing, and that she's gonna have to deal with, like, so immature.
I think to spice up Paradise next season, the producers should only bring villains. Could you imagine all of the Victorias trying to find love on a beach populated by Peter, Jamie, and Greg? They could even bring back Jed as a musical guest, have Chad bartend when he's not shitting his pants, and I guess have Juanja Pablo to host. It would be the biggest shitstorm in television history. How do you feel about that? We're not covering that season.
Yeah, we're not.
Yeah, we'll see. if Michelle were actually on spring break mode, would she have done a keg stand by now?
Have you ever
done a keg stand?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. I bet I would have been good at it in my heyday. I didn't drink when I could do a handstand, though. So, would you rather cry about an insignificant piece of clothing on national television or compete in a mini episode of Fear Factor where all you do for all of the dares, where you do all the dares and your face is photocopied?
Ooh.
I'd probably cry, right? Like, I'm probably going to cry anyway, so...
Fear Factor definitely is not for me. I know Kendall was on it. Kendall of Kendall and Joe.
I love that. Kendall of Kendall and Joe.
Kendall of Kendall, former Kendall and Joe.
Yeah, it'll never not be Kendall and Joe. Sorry. Yeah. Could you or Amy please attempt to do an impression of Brandon saying some of the deep and ridiculous things he says to Michelle? I'm not even sure what his voice sounds like. I can't picture it in my head right now. Amy, do you know what he sounds like?
Mm-mm.
Okay, let me do a hard listen next episode and see what I can do.
Okay.
Sounds good. That's it. That's it from Doug. That's it from me. If you do want to support your friends, me and Amy on the podcast, join the Ron Passa Podcast Patreon. You get exclusive content about the Survivor season. Sometimes you'll hear us do stuff if you're lucky. Where do you sign up for that, Amy? Do you remember?
robhasawebsite.com/patron. My favorite patron content has to be the patron 5 for 5 when Rob talks to Nicole. I can't miss that because I feel like we don't get much access to Nicole. And this
she's great.
Yeah, she's hilarious.
And if you want to ask us questions in the Facebook group, well, then that's the place to do it. That's where we get all of our little question threads. So, you know, join the patron group. Join the patrons. Have some fun.
Yeah, and start out, you know, it's early in the month, so that's the best time to start out. So you get the whole month, right?
You get the whole month and lots of extra content, like a ton of extra content. It's a good hang. So, hey, and while you're at it, sign up for the post-show recaps, Patreon too.
Nice.
For all of our friends.
Yeah. Do you ever do the Survivor trivia night?
No, I should though.
You should.
You know what I did one time was the Survivor Taskmaster. Grace did it and it was so much fun. Like I got pulled in last minute. Like I was just, there was two rounds of it. So I was just, Ethan went to go hang out with his friend. So I was like, oh, like I never get to watch these things. I'm going to watch it. And then Sam messaged me and was like, hey, do you want to be in the next round? Like it's starting 20 minutes. I was I would love nothing more. It was so much fun. It was such a ball. One of the categories was like, go put on your best outfit and like your time starts now, whatever. I came back in my wedding dress.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And like one was like your best gift, and like technically my best gift was Ethan got me a bike for Valentine's Day this year and I loved it so much. But it was too hard to go out to the garage and back in 2 minutes and get my bike upstairs. So I brought up the ice maker and it was fun.
Mm.
It was so much fun. So like, yeah, patron group do stuff like that, like pretty well every week, stuff like that, different things.
Oh my gosh, text me what ice maker you have because I definitely want one for my Christmas list this year. You know what?
I got it for my bridal shower and it was not something I asked for.
Oh, really?
And Ethan and I were both kind of like, oh, okay.
Random.
We use it. All the time. It has never once been put away because we use it constantly.
That's so cool.
Constantly.
Nice.
But yeah, that's it. Get an ice maker. Join Patreon.
And where can people keep up with you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @8strong_. You can check out my bookstagram at The Strong Library. I just posted a review of the last 3 Bridgerton books.
Saw that.
I was going to space them out, but I just thought I would blow my load in one.
Are you going to join Nothing But Netflix to talk Bridgerton?
Probably not, because like that's I feel like Kirsten and Sarah Carradine and maybe Sasha Joseph. I think that's who did the last Bridgerton episode. I feel like they'd be a good candidates, but I told Rob, I was like, if you don't call me for the new season of Dairy Girls, like I'm going to be upset. Have you watched Dairy Girls?
I haven't.
Oh my God, Amy, you need to watch it. It's so good.
Nice. I definitely have that on my list as well.
You could like, honestly, you could knock out the whole two series in about 3 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it's half hour episodes, and I think there's only like 6 episodes per season.
Perfect.
It's like a great afternoon.
Nice. You can find me on Twitter at RHAP Recapper and podcasting about Married at First Sight with the lovely Asia, who is our draft competitor. And
our draft winner, you mean?
Yeah, right. The inevitable draft winner. But that's in the reality TV wrap-ups feed as well. So thanks everybody for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.